Stephen Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about, do sellers really know the value of their land?
Oh boy, do they. In some parts of the country. I'm here to tell you, based on experience.
The reason this topic came up is because Jill and I are in the middle of doing a 10,000 unit mailer, as you might guess from the previous shows this week. And it was in two parts of the country. One part was on the West Coast, one part was in the center of the country. And the people on the West Coast really know the value of their land for whatever reason. And the people in the center of their country aren't making a decision to sell to us or not sell to us based on price alone. They're doing it because it's just time or some other circumstance. So that's what this is all about. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Thomas wrote, I recently ran across the podcast and started digging into the information. My wife and I have been dabbling in almost everything real estate related since 2017. We own two SFR rental properties, manage others via our own management company, renovated 10 SFRs. We do home staging, flipped an SFR, and most recently flipped a piece of waterfront property, which was $40,000 financed. We put $10,000 down. We held it for 5 months and then sold it for $60,000. We got worn out on the major reservations and have been looking at land in general. It looks like this is a great place to expedite my knowledge, gain methods, rather than stumbling through it all myself. Okay. True.
I can't say enough positive stuff about this comment.
Kind of been in your shoes, too.
So here's the thing. You know, Jill and I, by, you know, our professional history and everything about the two of us, would not lend itself to having a show like this or really being the owners of Land Academy. We are, you know, in my soul, and in Jill's for sure, we're all about buying and selling land. And so, and when Jill and I, in the 2015, sat down and said, hey, maybe we should share this with everybody because it's great. We had a long conversations about it. And my gut reaction was, I mean, it's not that I want to hide it and keep it all to myself. It's just like, I'm not that kind of person. I don't want to get in front of the camera. Well, what I've learned is this since then. It was a great idea and is one of the most rewarding things I've ever done professionally in my life, if not the most rewarding. However, the reward comes from people like Thomas here. They come to us with a bunch of experience in real estate or in some other business ownership, and then they sign up, go through the program, and dramatically improve what they've already created for themselves anyway. And then there's other people that just really struggle with it. So Thomas, congratulations. You absolutely fit the profile of what I've learned over the last 5 years about real successful people in real estate. What do you think, Jill?
I love it. Well, what's funny is, and of course, what you said, everything's true there. You know, we started doing land. I stepped in only doing land. And it's funny because through our career together, we've done some houses, we've done some renovations, I did home staging, we did stuff like that. And at the end of the journey, I'm staring at myself again going, this is stupid. Land's the best. It really is. I still look around, I'm still shocked. You know, what I could do, what you and I can do in 45 days, what the planet would barely do in 45 days. And, you know, just looking what's going on with the construction around us takes, you know, four to five months.
Years.
If they're lucky, 4 to 5 months, what you and I did in 45 days. So we can do it, but the money just doesn't pan out too. I just love what we do. Maybe I'm lazy. I think it's a combination of smart and lazy.
I feel qualified to say and confident that you are not lazy.
Oh, thank you.
You know what it is with renovations and stuff, and we're kind of getting off topic here. Thomas, you're totally qualified for this, and I really do hope that you're the kind of member we want to have. I'm going to leave it at that. Renovations redefine the word variables. When you knock a wall down or open a wall in a house that's from the 50s, you have no idea what's in there. And this is after you bought the house, by the way. you know, after you did some math in your head about, I'm going to buy this for 80, put $40,000 into it and sell it for 200. It never works out that way, ever. It never, ever works out that way. There's always all these variables that go on, including a pandemic. With land, you look at the thing on Google Earth, you do some math real quick in your head, you buy it for 30, everything else has just sold for 120. You're buying it for 30, you're going to sell it for 60. There's a darn good chance that's all going to work out real well. So you're removing the variables when you buy land. You're walking in to a myriad of variables when you renovate a house.
Very true. Thank you.
Today's topic, do sellers really know the value of their land? This is the meat of the show. Yes, some of them do. Those aren't the best sellers.
The ones maybe that, they are.
For whatever reason, and I'm not going to use adjectives here, for whatever reason, every time we buy and sell land in California in general, it's a big discussion. There's a lot of stuff involved. People really are into real estate in California for some reason.
Well, growing up here, born and raised in Southern California, I would argue because that's just what we do. Everybody around here is obsessed. Obsessed. I don't care where you live. I grew up in silly little Garden Grove. And even I knew what was going on around me. I knew what was different between Garden Grove and Newport Beach and, you know, LA. As a kid, it's just everything that everybody knows and talks about and thinks about. Probably because, you're right, because stuff was going up. Because there was movement. I bet if we were all staying, you know, if you bought a house for, you know, gosh, back in the day, anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000, you know, in Garden Grove, and it's now they're $600,000-$800,000. But if they stayed between 30 and 50, maybe they went up to 80. You know, it's not going to be that great after 20 years. We probably wouldn't be so concerned and talking about it. You're probably right, but things were changing too so much that it was all over the news. I knew that. You know, my dad chartered for some of these big developers. So I could even, it was kind of cool for me because I could see like, wow, this is what real estate gets you. So.
I completely second that and I understand your point. And again, it's kind of what I said yesterday. People have had real positive experiences out here. You know, Jill and I are in Los Angeles right now with real estate. I grew up in an environment in Detroit in an upper middle class neighborhood where after the second beer, everybody was talking about manufacturing.
Oh, okay.
They were obsessed on
cars.
It.
Like cars?
Yeah, in the car industry. But you know, nobody really owned a car company. They own all the parts supplier companies or the. In my dad's case, he was an accountant. So he was supporting those manufacturing companies and providing a service for taxes and all that stuff. So it all tied back into manufacturing. And everybody is, even to this day, when you talk about houses and the houses that they live in, everybody just kind of goes like, yeah, I don't know what it's worth. I mean, whatever, we paid $300 for it, it's probably worth $350. I don't know. I don't care. That's mm-hmm. not, that's so insignificant to them. It's not their thing, not why they're walking around this planet.
Right.
I completely agree with you. For some reason, people are just obsessed with their house value and obsessed with real estate in general. And maybe it's the circles we travel in. I don't know.
I don't think so, because this came out because of the calls that are coming in. You know, I've, like you said, the West Coast group, boy, they're on it. And they even know down to the zoning. I'm like, what the heck?
Wow, really?
You know, yeah. Little old ladies. Oh, I know this is zoned for 4 units, even though there's only one. Not kidding. I've had those calls just like that. But now I'm in parts of the country where, because we're going for some big acreage, where they know... maybe they've been leasing it out for grapes. There's vineyards and things like that. And there's a lot of things, and there's things like that you can't really pick up on before you send out your offers. So they're kind of, it's cute. They think they're educating me. I had one guy, it was so darn funny. He wasn't being a jerk, but he was kind of making sure I knew my stuff. And he thought that wherever I was from, that I didn't really understand California pricing. So he was very in a nice way explaining to me about California pricing. And I very nice explained back. I said, yes, sir, I'm very familiar with that. I happen to be sitting in an area right now south of Los Angeles where to get a postage stamp, you're looking at 5 to 6 million for the dirt. And he's like, all right, we're on the same page. I said, yes. So, you know, $100,000 an acre does not scare me in the slightest. And that's what he thought. He thought, like, I'm like, didn't know what my stuff. I'm like, I'm very familiar with that. But it's funny that they are. And I really just think it comes back to, I don't know if there's a love of land. I don't know if there's a West Coast love of land or just, I really think it's, we all know what's possible. Because millionaires, so many millions of millionaires have been made in California by doing nothing but not selling their house.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, you're exactly right. And it's because everyone's, what I said earlier, everybody's had a really positive experience out here. Mm-hmm. I can tell you with personal experience, and not just personal, but my whole entire background in the Midwest, people buy a house for $700,000 and sell it 10 years later for $710,000. It doesn't cover the fees and or even close to the cost of living there. I call it renting it to yourself. And they're not upset.
That's amazing to me.
That's been my personal experience. I've never made a dollar on a primary residence in Michigan, and I've had a bunch of them.
Isn't that funny? So I've only lived in California or Arizona. And when I sold a house in Arizona before you, I made money. I thought that's what you do.
Yeah, I know. That's what everybody is out here.
And so I know you're right. I know you're right that there's plenty of places on this country, in the country, where you buy it and you sell it for what you paid.
The majority.
I think you're right. Then I would argue, like, why am I buying it?
I agree with you. I would argue that also.
Just so I can paint the walls whatever color I want?
Yes. That's the answer.
that's the funniest thing.
And because
big deal, I'll unpaint the walls.
And because the generation before us, the baby boomers, were fed a lot of messages from the federal government about owning your own house and the tax benefit, which is a joke, by the way. It's a topic for a different show. The tax benefits you get from paying mortgage interest, and it's all it was all meant to, you know. The mortgage industry is huge.
I know people
Freddie
that have gotten
to. Freddie Mae and Fannie Mac and on and on. This is how, I don't want to start ranting here, but you really need to do the math before you buy a house.
I know people that have gotten to like virtual fist fights over, because they have the cash to buy a house, but oh no, you should finance it because you're right off the interest.
Yeah.
Like, okay, hold on a moment.
That's a pile of malarkey.
I know.
It almost never makes sense. Almost never makes sense to mortgage your primary residence the way that we're taught to do it.
Right. That makes sure someone's making a nice chunk of change on your points and your interest.
Everybody makes money except you, mm-hmm. starting with the buy-side real estate agent.
I understand. So for me, when the phone calls are coming in and you're talking with these sellers, don't assume what they know or not know. You're not sure. They may be very well educated, and they may teach you something too. And that's, I'm not afraid of that. So have an open mind, be cool, stick with your offer, and you might learn some stuff.
Right. What you want a seller to say before we end the show here? What you want a seller to you want the seller to call you and say, "Hey, I got your offer for $35,000, and I do want to sell. And please let me know what the next steps are." Mm-hmm. If they call you and, like Jill just described, and start describing to you how it all works and wherever, that's not, they're not a seller.
I would say there's still a small chance, I don't mean to disagree, but I'm just gonna say there's a small chance that I missed something. Hey, did you know, by the way, I'm actually zoned for this and this is what's going on. There's this on the property. I may not know that. And it might actually, what's the word I'm looking for? Substantiate a different price. And I will certainly look at that. And I'm doing it right now today.
So you have had recent positive experiences like that.
Like, did you know that this is what's really going on? Ah, you know what? That does provide value to me too. I did not know that. Thank you for letting me know. What is the new bottom number? You know, now that we know we're on the same page, you know, I'm not high-end retail here, but now I know it's worth a little more because of X. What's your new number? And I'll go look at it. And if I can make it work, I'll let you know. And they say, thank you very much.
You're a stronger, better, more open-minded person than I'll ever be.
That's hilarious. Happy you could join us today. Every Monday, or excuse me, every day now, 5 days a week, you can find us here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called When Data Tells You to Pull the Plug on Your Mailer. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Sometimes the data just says, sometimes you get into the process of, you pick the county, your test passes all your tests, you download the data. I just spent $350 on this data, I'm gonna make it work. No, the data's there smacking you in the face saying, just, you need to stop right now.
Yeah, don't do it,
I'll give you some real examples recently of counties that I pulled a plug on.
The data's cheaper than the mail.
Yes, well said. You rather waste $350 because you made the wrong data or waste $5,000 on the mail?
Ding, ding. The Land Academy Show remains commercial free for you, our loyal listener. So wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property. Jill just got a phone call from a seller.